He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this Thursday afternoon, live from Fashion Furniture, a week before Christmas here, December 18th. Good to be here. Good to be alongside y'all. Good to be broadcasting yet another edition of Behind the Bench here as we get closer to the end of the calendar. It is good to be here at Fashion Furniture. A reminder here that Sleep Retreat is free when you buy Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and Beautyrest Black products. Free delivery, free setup, and free hollowway of your old mattress or adjustable base. Come to Sleep Retreat inside Fashion Furniture, where all qualifying mattress and adjustable base purchases offer free, plus $300 in free mattress gear gifts with purchase of any Tempur-Pedic, Beautyrest Black, or Stearns & Foster. Free sheets, free memory foam pillows, free mattress protectors. It's all free. Did I say free? I think I did. Live here at Fashion Furniture. Nothing like it in all of California. We're here for 2 hours before we send it out to Thursday night football between the Rams and the Seahawks. Boy, that's a good one, ain't it? Should be fun tonight at 5 o'clock. We're also over on 790 tonight doing the high school hoops broadcast. Myself, Paul Metters, will be live from McLean for Central East and McLean on our 790 sister station. So 6:15 pre, 6:30 tip-off. Should be a lot of fun over there for you at McLean High to give you the last broadcast of the calendar year before we take a little Christmas break for all y'all. We're here at Fashion Furniture, where Me and Ed's Pizza is provided as well. Enjoy some pizza while you're here hanging out, listening to the show. Free for you if you want to hang out and have some pizza. You're hungry. It's 3 o'clock. You're in the shopping doldrums. And, yeah, I'm sure you would use a slice or two. Big thanks to Me and Ed's for providing the pizza today. We also are here live, like I said, at 3 o'clock. And Lee's Air Heating and Roofing sponsoring our hotline today, which is 559-320-1430. 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show, get a hold of us. Taking a look at the Lee's Air weather check, 56 degrees is your temperature on this day. A little more cloudy as we continue to roll through the weekend. And then potential rain on the horizon for even potentially all the way through Christmas and beyond. Could be in the forecast for this Central Valley. We've been anticipating that, and so we could get some moisture. I think some people up in the mountains may be interested in a little snowpack potentially coming that way as well. I'm no weather guy. I make no promises, but potential weather on the horizon for you all starting early next week, if potentially on Sunday as well. Like I said, we're going up to 5 o'clock. Good show today. We're going to have our Student Athlete of the Week interview here in this hour. McKay Amundson and Tony Amundson joining us in about 15 minutes or so, talking high school football. Basketball, Clovis North High School basketball. McKay Amundson, our Student Athlete of the Week. We're going to talk football. We're going to talk a little basketball, touch on a little bit, but mostly football today, centric show, especially with how big of a game and a matchup we have on the horizon on Thursday Night Football. It's good to be joined by a lot of different voices here on the show today on this Thursday. Foot Live from Fashion Furniture. Of course, I'll start with the man who's in the studio pushing the buttons and levers. It is Jorge, who's back again for another day. Jorge, how are you doing on this Thursday? Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Good to have you, of course. And I recall a good FPU show last night, by the way. A little, it sounded like a fun show with the three Hall of Famers, at least from the FPU standpoint. It looked like a fun show last night.
It was definitely something. I don't know if it's gonna happen again, but it was something. I gotta say,
colorful stories.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So good to have the voices there. It's good to have the voices here as well. Tim Veer, Daniel hanging out with us on this Thursday as well. Guys, your last Thursday of the calendar year. So before we head off on the holiday break, guys, good to have you here. How are we doing?
Yeah. Still tired. We talked a little bit before that I played my first pickup soccer game in years, and you know, still scored two goals, but I am so sore. So hopefully I'll be fine by this the end of this show.
Yeah. Daniel, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. You know, just riding out this week, to be honest, with this and work. So
I'm there with you. I'm there with y'all. We did a full show yesterday, felt it a little bit in terms of it, and now we're doing 2 hours before what is the game of the year, potentially, in a couple of hours, that everyone's excited about, of course, and what this game will mean in terms of the implications for both sides. I think that is where we start today on our show, which is Seahawks and Rams in a battle for the NFC West. At least we will have a clarity on where this NFC West division could go after a result tonight. The Rams in the most straightforward position here in this NFC West, with a potential to win out, at least win the next two. And I would say they are a division champ in this NFC West. That is where they sit. Although, technically they won't clinch yet. You'd have to have the Niners. If the Niners win out and the Rams get to that Arizona game, they would have to win that game. You know, but essentially,
tough game,
yeah, right. Tough game there in SoFi with it. But Niners would need the Rams to lose one of the next two games of the Seahawks or the Cardinal game that the Rams have for them to potentially leapfrog them in. Seattle, strangely, has you know, they control their own destiny. They win tonight. So, like I said, it's all in front of them tonight in terms of it, trying to not get too complicated. But we've been building up to this one. We saw part one about a month and a half ago, and I would anticipate we're going to see another version of this game in a similar fashion. We look forward to it. Guys, now that we're a couple hours away from kickoff, less than a couple hours, where's the feeling ahead of a game like this between the Rams and the Seahawks?
I mean, games like this is what you love the NFL for. I think that the biggest reason that we're tuned into this game, not only as it pertains to the NFC West standings, but also if the Seahawks were to win, they control their destiny, as you said, and if the Rams win, they control their destiny. And so this is going to be a matchup that was an amazing game a couple weeks ago, and I think we're going to see some similar fireworks in this one, especially in Seattle, which is something that I think can help the Seahawks.
Dale, what do you think about a game like this tonight in terms of where it all stands, where it all I feel like it's giving me Vikings-Lions a little bit last year in terms of that final game of the year, yet we didn't really get the delivered result of a game like that when we put the anticipation of it. But I got to imagine tonight could deliver in the same way.
Yeah, I think I'm hoping this game delivers a ton because, you know, I feel like the hype has been building up, especially the past couple weeks. You know, these are both potential, like, number one seeds in the NFC. And just to, like, see them both go against each other, it's definitely exciting. You know, I've seen a lot of TikTok edits for this game, and I'm just like, it's definitely building the hype up. So I'm hoping it just lives up to the hype.
You know when it matters? When the TikTok edits come out, right? That's what matters.
Yep.
Jorge, this is game of the year territory right now, potentially, and hopefully it delivers in that sense. We both had it at our number one in the Benani Blitz. But, Jorge, Your anticipation for this game, we just hope we're not let down in any form or fashion, but I don't know if we can be with these two teams.
Yeah, two teams that are pretty strong defenses, and, you know, they've been doing well on offense, and I think, you know, just a matter of who wants them more, really. But there's a lot of doubts on Darnold, which I think it's – I don't think it's legit. I feel like Darnold has proven that he's good enough to play in any game, but it is what it is.
I think that's kind of the fair way to start. If you were going to really pick apart this matchup, that is, to me, where the story starts for me. If you're going to think about where are the differences in this game, where are the differences in between how these teams play against each other and where you can kind of compare and contrast and where – these teams can differentiate. Sam Darnold this year, you know, has been remarkable outside of, I would say, a little too careless with the football in terms of it. That's the main difference if you look at the splits with him throwing a few more picks, certainly, than Matthew Stafford has. But it's going to be interesting to see what kind of his effectiveness against the pass rush, how quickly he can get the ball out, how on schedule can the Seahawks be, and how the Rams can disrupt that timeliness of what the Seattle offense can be, what the Seahawks can do in the run game potentially in this game tonight. The Rams have been better in that run defense as of late. Bottling up Detroit for 20 carries for 70 yards is, I would say, a remarkable achievement considering what Detroit had last week. So I sit there and say, well, I know what Detroit has as a running back situation, and I don't imagine Seattle's situation is better than Detroit's. So what's to tell me that Detroit – or tell me that the Rams are going to struggle tonight against this run offense of Seattle? But it's going to be interesting to see how Darnold evolves in this game. Now two straight games against this Rams defense where he has looked as bad as he's looked as any quarterback the last 2 years. He's kind of looked like the Jets Darnold. So this is my big question mark going into the game. I don't think it's a Rams. So there's any question marks for the Rams in the side of, you know, what Devontae's loss impact will be. But I don't know if it'll impact that much. I think it's more the question marks have to lean on what the Seahawks have to do on offense, especially with their quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that was the case in the last game as well, right? Like, I feel like the Seattle Seahawks defense played exceptionally well, and Sam Darnold and that offense just could not capitalize. They only had 19 points in that game. But as good as Sam Darnold has been, especially the start in the middle part of this year, the last five games, I would say he's kind of tailed off a little bit, even though they are 4-1 in the last five games. I think his performance has not been one that you can say that has been good. And also, I don't know if Sam Darnold was to continue to play as he has been over the last five games, I don't know if you could really say that the Seattle Seahawks are a Super Bowl contender as good as their defense is. So he has to really come up huge in this game today against the Los Angeles Rams. I totally agree. I think it's going to, the onus is on that offense to really put a stamp on this Los Angeles Rams defense, which in all reality has been probably the best defense in the NFL.
And here's your point. Since Sam Darnold lost to the Rams in Week 11, here's what his stats have been. 7.2 yards per attempt as opposed to his 9.9 yards per attempt.
Yeah.
He was 17-6 in touchdown to interception ratio from week 1 to week 10. Week 11 to week 15, he's 5-5 right now in that ratio, completing 10% less of his passes right now in terms of that clip. He's had three games in his last five with zero passing touchdowns in that as well. So the production has been limited in terms of what Sam Darnold has produced. It's against, I would say, there's a few plus defenses that he faced in that stretch. I think of Minnesota as like a plus defense in terms of it. You know, I think the Colts are not like a slouchy defense at all in terms of what they presented last week. But there's, you know, Tennessee was out there and they kind of let that game stay interesting for a little bit too long, right? So I think there's some situations this, you know, the Falcons game, they put their foot on the ground as far as that. So there are moments where you can see what the Seahawks, but the that was more from the defensive side, I would say, Seattle pulling away in that game. So I think Seattle's big question mark is that, and whether do we believe the Rams' defense is progressing even better than that last Seahawks game? You know, it's a scary thought when you think they forced four picks on Sam Darnold in that last game against the Rams, and can they even be even better than where they were 5 or 6 weeks ago when they last played Seattle? I'm curious about that question mark for me.
Yeah, and you can say that this is all plus defenses, but in reality, this is going to be a plus defense that you're playing this week, too. So he's going to have to do something that he hasn't done, I think, since probably the Houston game where they won 27-19 versus the Texans, and the Texans, we all know, is a very good defense. He's got to beat a very good defense decisively, and so that's going to be the first thing on my mind in terms of that. The other like matchup that I think is going to be very important is the Seahawks secondary going against this Rams passing attack. And obviously that kind of could be an easy thing to point out, but I also want to say that Puka Nacua is not going to play the first drive in this game today, and that could be have a big factor, especially in the momentum of this game to start off. But also Devontae Adams, we don't know what he's going to look like, even if he is on the field or And if he's not on the field, that's another big point as well. So Seattle's defense, you know, they have been the secondary especially has been formidable. They're ranked amongst the league's best. But they have struggled against Matthew Stafford in this passing attack, and especially in that last meeting, they really struggled, especially on the back end. So these are kind of the matchups that I'm really looking forward to in the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, the Rams are evolving a little bit in their passing attack, though. Even it's people could see the Puka and Devontae dominance of this offense and how much those wide receivers have meant to it, but they've really discovered since about midway through the season, people talk about how they've discovered 13 personnel here with their tight ends position, and Colby Parkinson has been phenomenally underrated, I would say, as a tight end the last few weeks. I saw him make a couple great touchdown grabs last week against the Detroit Lions, and I don't have the stats in front of me in terms of what Seattle does with the tight end position. I imagine there is some struggles here or there with it, but you know, the Rams have really found alternative ways to go about with their offense, and what 13 personnel does for them is they can run the ball a lot better too with Corum and Kyren, and they're able to pass out of that formation set as well. So there's so many options that the Rams have that they don't need to really just wide out Puka, wide out Devontae, and feel like that's the only way they can attack a defense now. They have so many other looks that they can show, and this running game is helping by being a lot better and more efficient with Kyren and Blake, and that's the scary part about what the Rams are doing now, and that's what I would be terrified if I'm Mike McDonald as a Seahawks defensive coordinator.
Yeah, conversely, though, I also think that the setup of these 13 personnel looks, and for those that don't know what 13 personnel is, it's one running back and three tight ends in the formation, and so I also think that the setup is very good. Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams are also two of the best run-blocking receivers in the NFL, and so as much as I do agree that the 13 personnel system that they found over the last couple of weeks, it worked really well against the Lions, especially on that Colby Parkinson touchdown. I think it's a setup from how good their passing attack has been, and I also think that Kyren and Blake Corum have come alive. And as much as again, this 13 personnel has worked, I also think that these receivers have had a large part in why this has worked, because Puka has been the lone receiver in some of these formations, and he attracts so much attention.
Can the Rams run the ball effectively tonight, Daniel? You feel like that's going to be more – it's like, I know Stafford has been what he's done, and it's been a great passing attack, but is there maybe an emphasis tonight, not with Devontae having him in the lineup tonight potentially? We'd assume so. Could you see more success on the ground for the Lions in this game tonight against Seattle?
Yeah, I think they can run the ball still. I think no matter what, like Blake – especially Blake. I think Blake has progressed a ton this season over the –
creates interesting conversations of how they'll handle that running back group.
Yeah.
But, I do think that they'll be able to run a lot. And I think them using the tight ends will be the most important part of this. Yeah. I think more than the wide receivers. I think with that the 13 personnel formation, if they can get that to work like how they got it against the Lions, I think they'll be great.
I think there's an ability for the Rams to control the ball well in this game as well. If they really are in, they don't penalize themselves. They don't get behind the sticks a little bit as far as that's concerned. I think obviously those are the things that win you football games, but I think the Rams have a real ability to control the pace of the game as it prolongs as well. And, as some people would say, I'm probably leaning Rams tonight. We'll make our predictions at the end of the show, but at first blush, I look forward to the chess match of, I think Seattle's offense is the one that is the variable tonight, as opposed to, I think we know what the Rams are going to do. It's the matter of what's the variable tonight, and the variable is what Seattle can do on offense, and that's where I sit.
I also think Seattle's linebackers have been phenomenal in coverage this season, and so that personnel grouping that they've found so much success in, I think that's going to be there's going to be a little bit more resistance to it, because I do think those Seahawks linebackers are very good in coverage.
Yeah. 43 plays they ran with three tight ends on the field in that second half comeback against the Lions. That's the most in any game since ESPN began tracking it since 07.
Yeah.
Wow.
You remember 07?
I was one.
Okay. All right.
I was six.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we got plenty of more to talk about on this show. So much to get to. We're going to get to an interview that I had with McKay Amundson, his coach, Tony Amundson. It's our Student Athlete of the Week interview, final one of the year. So stay tuned for that. Clovis North Basketball coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
Welcome to A-Plus Signs.
Thanks. Yeah, I need some custom exterior signs for my business.
Great. What's the name of your business?
C-Plus Signs.
Wait, you own a sign company?
Yep, C-Plus Signs.
And you want us, A-Plus Signs, to make your signs?
Yeah, I need them really fast, and we can't touch your turnaround times.
We are kind of known for that.
For signs that stop traffic, drive traffic, and even direct traffic, call A-Plus Signs.
Remember, A-Plus has great technicians to service and repair signs, too.
Yeah, we got a guy, but he's afraid of ladders.
I said, ooh, come on, baby, turn the lights off. Ooh, 'cause it's getting late. I said, ooh, I know we're gonna try to hang tough. Ooh, you shouldn't hesitate.
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Got a great interview now here, caught up with McKay Amundson, and it's Coach Tony Amundson of Clovis North Basketball. McKay's our Student Athlete of the Week winner. He came by the station a little earlier today, you know, school schedule. You got to make sure it all works for everybody. So, fortunately, we couldn't have him live here, but we did have him earlier today, so let's cue up that interview. McKay Amundson and Tony Amundson of Clovis North Basketball.
All right, here with our Student Athlete of the Week, our final one of the calendar year here in 2025, but it's good. It's a good one. Talking to McKay Amundson and Tony Amundson here of Clovis North Basketball. McKay, of course, being selected as a Student Athlete of the Week for your achievements on the court and off the court as well. McKay, first of all, how does it feel to be a Student Athlete of the Week?
It feels amazing. It's a big honor for sure. You know, I really appreciate you guys recognizing me. And, it just feels great.
Feels great, of course. And I'm sure Coach feels the same way. We'll address him as Coach. Tony, how does it feel? McKay Amundson, Student Athlete of the Week, when you got the call from me.
It's always nice when the kids work hard and they get recognized for it. It's always a very positive thing. So very excited about it.
Absolutely, and excited to talk about your season so far and talk about the achievements. But first of all, McKay, we kind of pinpointed, you know, how your performance was, especially in your own host tournament, in the Valley Children's Tournament, being one where you had a great tournament, to say the least. I think you broke the record of steals in a game during the course of the tournament as well, something like that. So, McKay, first of all, how does it feel? Tell me about that performance specifically that week and why it was a week that really worked for you.
You know, all credit to my teammates. They found me all weekend, got my shooting going. And, you know, I just like to get 2 feet in the paint all the time, kick out, get our guys going because we have a really good shooting team. And then defensively, I'm always going to be working hard on defense, on-ball defense, help side, whatever I got to do to help us win. That's the biggest deal right there. I just want to win. And then, you know, as for the steals, I just felt like I had really active hands in that game, in all the games. I was definitely rotations. I was just getting a lot of rotation steals and on-ball steals that game.
Absolutely. And, Tony, you're observing that from the sideline, from your vantage point, you know, McKay's ability and what he was able to do on both sides of the ball. What was working specifically that week in your mind that garnered him this award?
Well, he always brings such good energy. And when the rest of the team is putting good pressure on the ball and he's back there kind of in free safety mode, he's able to creep up and get a few steals there. But he always brings good energy and he's always active on the ball. And so there's always opportunities for him. And then that game, he ended up breaking the single game steals record.
Yeah, absolutely. The instincts, right? The ability to do what you can do in terms of stepping in front of the passing lanes, how it all kind of works like that, you know, defensively. McKay, how much have you worked on that specific part of your game? And how do you work on that part of your game as well?
I'm going to be completely honest here. I mean, it's just kind of something that I naturally had, especially like growing up. I feel like I was always like one of our Coach Jones, one of our assistants, he used to coach me when I was younger and he would always say I was just out there guarding everybody. Like I'd be helping out wherever I could. I'd do long switches, switch on to whoever. Some plays I'd be guarding four people, like just rotating and everything. And I think it's just something honestly, just growing up with the game, understanding defense and how the rotations work and everything, just being around basketball all the time.
Tony, where do those instincts come from? He says from a young age. I mean, like, where do you think it came from McKay?
Well, I'm sure a lot of it came through our youth program. I think our coaches do a great job of teaching the kids when they're young how to pressure the ball, where they're supposed to be position-wise, and then getting them a pretty good understanding of the rotations. And McKay just picked it up really fast and was very good at a very young age.
Absolutely. It's interesting, you know, to think about like how basketball is played, right, and the speed of it and the way things kind of go and how it develops. And McKay, when you're growing up in learning the game of basketball, as I'm sure your dad who's passing the game along to you, and you know, when you think of basketball, you think of the Amundsen in a sense, right? But when you think about like how your game, you know, compares to the other Amundsens you think about or anything like you know about or hear about, do you feel like there's similarities, or are you putting your own imprint on the game?
There's definitely similarities, especially between me and my brother, because we're both undersized guards, both really quick with the ball, can really do most things, like anything that we want with the ball. Definitely some differences, and I think me and him are actually very different in some ways. And we kind of use that to get better in other ways. So like, yeah. I see what he does good and that I lack a little bit, and then that I've used that to get better in certain ways, and same thing for him a little bit too.
Tony, who does he look like the most out of you and Tim and Ty? You know, like I try to think of, like, does he remind you of anybody from your era?
Well, it's kind of funny because my wife and I, there was a picture that came up and my wife was looking at it, and I had to do like a double take because I thought it was McKay, but it was actually Connor 2 years ago. And so it's funny because they do look a lot alike. Obviously there's some subtle differences, but I think they get mistaken for each other quite often.
Absolutely. It's fun to watch in terms of that. Let's talk about this Clovis North team. And, you know, you come into this season, of course, a team that I think you're hungry for success this year, especially, you know, how last year kind of went with the playoffs. And, you know, you wanted to beat Buchanan so bad last year in terms of, I'd imagine. So what was kind of the feeling coming into this offseason, you know, knowing how last season ended versus what you wanted to accomplish going into this year, McKay?
You know, obviously that hurt a little bit at the end of the year last year, but it's a new year, and we had a lot of seniors graduate. We got a lot of underclassmen that just came up this year. Completely different team, honestly. And I just want to help lead them and win as many games as we can. And I mean, I've still grown up with all these guys. I love all my guys on this team. They're like my brothers, and you know, I just want to get as far as we can and in state, whatever it is, section, league. Yeah. I want to get a league championship, hopefully get a section championship, and I want to go as far as we can in state as well.
Tony, for you, how much do you let after the season ended last year and you go into this off season, you know, obviously every year is different and going into your preparation, but you know, how much do you allow, how did you allow the sting to linger? How much did you let it linger? Or is there any linger to it from the players? Did you allow them to have it linger with them, or were you ready to move on right away when the time was right?
Well, I think anytime your season ends, you're disappointed, right? You're trying to continue on and keep playing and keep getting better and see if you can win some championships along the way. But, you know, I think we stay just real focused on just getting 1% better every single day, so that at the end of the year, we're playing our best basketball. And I think, you know, staying focused on the process of doing that really helps us out a lot. And it kind of puts things in perspective, and it keeps us driving forward to get better.
Absolutely. And Tony, you challenge this team as you start the season, right? You're in tournaments here. You're traveling all over. You had your home tournament, but you're getting after with some opponents all around the state of California, right? And in terms of that, and potentially beyond, you know, with what you got. But what challenges do you always kind of look for when you get into a season like this, one where you know, McKay cited there's turnover, there's new guys coming in. You know, what are you trying to challenge out of your group when you get a schedule like this together?
Well, you know, we play a tough schedule with a purpose, right? I think we're pretty good, number one. So we want to be challenged every game. Nobody learns anything from a 30-point game either way. And, you know, my biggest goal is I want to see everything that we could possibly see before we get to section playoffs and state playoffs. And that way we're not surprised. So I want to play against a 7-footer. I want to play some 6'10 guys, some 6'7 guys. I want to play short, quick teams. I want to play, you know, good rebounding teams, a team that maybe zones. And in that way, when we've seen it before, we're not shocked at the end of the year and we're very prepared. And so when we go in with that goal in mind and we play a wide variety of teams and challenging teams, I think it kind of gets us ready for that moment.
And McKay, you felt that variety as a player on the court, like all of the different things you face as a guard yourself and the different challenges. Like, have you run the gamut so far through
yeah,
the first
I
nine
mean,
games?
Yeah. I mean, especially this year already, there's been games where I'll have 30-something points, and then because of the way the defense is guarding me, and then there's other games where they're trying to take me away, so I have to just make the right read and get my teammates open. And I've had conversations with my dad about that and with our other coaches and just adjusting and seeing how the defense is playing me because, I mean, like there was a couple games in Gridley where we were just at where they're really trying to take me away, and so it's going to be a 10-assist game. Mm-hmm. Or there's games like against Branson where they're just trying to take away our shooters, so I'm going and getting to the rack and I'm getting paint touches and I'm scoring more because of the way they're guarding me. So it's all just reads. And but on the playing all these different kinds of teams, it definitely prepares us for the end of the year going into playoffs and everything.
Because at some point it's what you game plan and what you read on the court, especially with your position, right? And how you react to those situations is what kind of sharpens you for, you know, the end of February when you're hopefully getting to sell an arena at some point, you know. You know, Tony, when you talk about watching McKay play in terms of the relativity of him just being able to decipher what the right play is, how has that been progression for you? And, you know, I know he's your son, but, you know, the trust still has to be there from the coaching perspective. And how much have you gained trust throughout his time playing that guard position?
Well, I the things that I 100% trust is I know he's going to give it everything he's got. And I know that winning is always at the forefront of his mind. And as long as those two things are lined up, we're going to be in really good shape. And then we've really worked hard on leadership and communicating with his teammates. And him and Elias Gish have done an amazing job of doing that this year. And we want that to continue to get better. But as far as Reed, some of the games he goes out there and he kind of figures it out on his own. But sometimes he needs a little direction. And we're like, hey, look, this is what they're doing. So we need to do X, Y, and Z. And to his credit, he's done an amazing job in that this year.
Yeah, Coach alluded to Eli Gish as a teammate for you and the guy who's probably kind of the guy you've played with the most on this roster. You've had some other teammates as well, but the guy I think a lot of people pay attention to with his ability. You know, tell me about your partnership with Eli and how that has grown through your time, McKay, for you throughout your high school career.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing with him since before middle school, so I got to know like how he likes to play, everything he likes to do. So there's tons of times in the game where I'm just setting him up for things that I know he's going to be successful at because I am the point guard, so I need to help run the team, right? And so, you know, there's all kinds of things where, like, I'll go do a kickback for him or I'll set him up to go get a paint touch because I know he's lengthy and he can go in there and score. So if we need a quick bucket and they're taking me away, I feel like I try to set him up as best as I can because I know he's going to be successful.
Tony, how would you describe the partnership of McKay and Eli from just what they've progressed into as a pair of teammates?
I think they work very well together and they both find each other all the time. And I think, you know, they've gotten to the point in their careers where they understand that there's give and take in the game, right? When it comes to making reads and recognizing what the defense is trying to take away. And then that way, when you make the appropriate read, you're kind of leaning on each other sometimes to get each other open and get each other good looks at the basket.
I'll go to McKay here. Is there a game this year so far where you've learned the most about your team so far up to this point? Is there a game where you're in the moment, you're like, okay, I think we're unlocking something a little bit here, and maybe we can continue to enter a different phase. I know it's 9 games in, but is there something that's like telling you, okay, this is what this team can be if it's doing the things it's supposed to be doing?
I'll say at Gridley we played St. Mary's, which they were down some guys, but just the way our offense was moving, the ball was popping. There was so many extra passes, and I mean, I think we ended up having like 20 assists, it was just crazy. I think we ended with 20 assists, and ball was just popping, all the extra passes, and it just showed me, and obviously defensively we were great too. Mm-hmm. I think it ended up being over a 30-point win, and so it just really showed me what we could be if we keep going in the right direction.
Of course, Coach, you're always looking to improve in every department, so I don't know if you're satisfied at any result, but this year so far. But maybe that's an unfair characterization. Maybe maybe there's a moment where you're sitting there like, okay, that stretch is something I want to bottle up and hope they have later in the year. Is there a time this season that you've seen that already?
Yeah, you know, I think offensively we're going to be pretty good. I think we're scoring a lot of points. I think, you know, at this point compared to last year, I think we're averaging more points per game. I think the area where we're going to continue to improve a lot is on the defensive side of the ball. And we've been working really hard at that, and it showed itself in a few of the games already. And I think we can get there with the group that we have, and we're just going to continue to try and get better in that area. And I think everything else will take care of itself.
So what do you got coming up? You get this tournament. Literally, you're leaving tomorrow. You're there tomorrow in San Luis Obispo. What? Tell us a little bit about what to expect, Tony, in this tournament for the extended weekend.
Well, we've won the Mission Prep the last 2 years, and I'll say that the tournament is definitely up this year. And they did a unique thing because there's 16 teams, but I think two of the teams couldn't play on Friday. So they're sitting out Friday, and there's just 7 random games on Friday. And then they did a platinum 8-team bracket and a gold 8-team bracket, and we got put in the platinum. Mm-hmm. So the 8 teams that are in the platinum are all very, very good teams. So we're going to get 3 really – I mean, Maranatha will be a good game for us on Friday, but then after that we're going to be matched up in the platinum with 3 very good teams. And then after that we go to the Damien, and that's – we got put in the – platinum bracket for that as well, and we'll be playing some teams that are top 25 in the country,
McKay,
in that bracket. So, so our boys will be battle tested for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry to step on you there, Tony. I wanted to just talk about, you know, McKay as a player. When you prep for these tournaments, you get ready for any kind of opponent, the challenge, what does excite you as a player, like in inviting the competition of it for sure, but inviting just the challenge of the nature of switching on a dime, getting ready for the next day, really turning and burning from the game before, what excites you about that challenge, especially the next couple of weeks?
I always like playing the best competition, and that's one of the best parts about it is that we always do play the best competition, and getting to play some of the best players in the country really gets me prepared for the next level as well. Because I don't know if there's much that's going to surprise me like crazy at the next level when I go to Idaho State. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part. That's like a big help going into it. And then, all these teams are great, and I'm just really excited to play them. And as for going back-to-back into these games, I just have to take care of my body. I make sure that I'm stretching, rolling out, in between like the days, so we play our game, go back to the hotel, whatever, make sure I'm doing my recovery so that I'm ready for the next day, and that, you know, just making sure I'm ready.
Absolutely. What is something people don't know really about Clovis North basketball this season yet that they should know about, or is something that they'll learn about as the season progresses, McKay?
I'd just say we got some dogs. I mean, we're gonna play some tough defense, high energy, and I think that we're gonna fight till the last second every game. I don't think that they'll ever see us give up, no matter who we're playing. So,
Tony, you like that sentiment from your guard here?
Absolutely, and I agree with them. We got some great kids that have great character, and they work extremely hard, and they all want to battle for each other, and I love that.
How exciting will be track play this year for you, Tony? Or is it going to be knocking down, drag out fights each night in the track this year?
Absolutely, it's always like that. Number one, I think there's great coaches in the track. Number two, I think there's a lot of very talented players within the track as well. And the thing is everybody knows each other so well by that time. And so it's just that chess game of, you know, taking away things that the other team does well and trying to expose their weaknesses and trying to play to your own strengths that everybody does such a great job of. And that's why the games are such a grind.
Yeah, I'm sure you're thinking about your rivals a little bit there, McKay, when the time gets there. I know you got some fun ones up ahead with every school. So, all right, McKay, I wanted to just let you know, and with Tony on the line here, we got a lot of prizes for you, so I just want to spell it out what we're giving you here today. Of course, you've seen the big checks, I'm sure. I think you saw Lucas's last year.
Yeah.
So you're getting one of those, the big thing. You're going to be taking that with you. So that'd be great. We'll get a little picture with you after this interview's over. And we're also getting you, we got a swag bag for you, including a shirt. Hopefully I got the right size. We'll get you the right size for it. We got your Toledo's family four pack, so you and Tony and the family can enjoy some nice food at Toledo's Mexican restaurant on an evening. KFC, we'll get you a little free KFC for you. How about some basketball tickets as well to Fresno State? So I picked the day too, and I look, you didn't have a game on that day, so I made sure to get you one for a day you're not day you're free. And we also got an ice chest for you, which you can take the ice chest with, full of Raw Farms milk. You like some milk?
Yeah, I love milk. I love milk.
So you're taking some milk home. And Tony, this is for you because McKay's picked as a student athlete of the week. You're going to get a team drop of milk at practice. We're going to give him the card that you're going to call the woman who's on the card there with us. And you're going to schedule out a practice day where you're going to get a milk delivery for the whole team. Tony, how does that sound? You like milk?
That sounds great. Yeah. Maybe we can do it on a weight room day and that'll be, some of their protein intake.
I've heard it's good in the protein powder. I've heard it's fantastic protein shakes. So, but no, that's great.
No, we appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, Tony, I'll let you go. McKay, we'll let you go, get your prizes, all that stuff. But guys, I appreciate you taking the time. Safe travels, all that stuff around the holidays and your tournaments. You guys are going to be busy around that time. But I wish you guys a Merry Christmas and all that great stuff. And best of luck this season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to McKay Amundson and Tony Amundson for joining us in the last segment. Congrats to our Student Athlete of the Week for this week. And if you want to see your student athlete be our Student Athlete of the Week, please submit a entry on our website. 1430ESPNFresno.com is where you can find a way to sign your athlete in your life up. All right. We are here wrapping up this first hour. We got a second hour to go as well. Guys, I got to get your mic on here for you, turn you all up. A little bit of a few minutes here before we get to it. Lakers play tonight. They're back in action tonight against Utah, which I don't know how seriously we could take Utah as a team, but the Lakers certainly would like to get off to a good start in this game tonight. I floated the question of if there's voter fatigue in terms of the MVP between Shea and Jokic, is there a path for Luka to be in this conversation, at least from the first third of this year and what he's been able to do? I wonder if there's a narrative out there where Luka could grasp this MVP conversation. I know it's early. We're in December for MVP, but I think this is the right time to at least gauge the conversation around it.
What do you guys feel about the Luka MVP case through the first third of this season so far? Daniel, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say I felt burnt out with, like, Jokic and Shea, but, like, I feel like there should be a path where, like, Luka will at least be in these conversations no matter what, especially with, like, just how he's been performing. Granted, you know, he's missed a couple weeks here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I think with his production he's been doing, he's obviously been a difference maker for this Lakers team. And, like, he's one of the reasons why, like, they're winning. And, like, especially, like, this early part of the season where LeBron was out, like, he was the one that was carrying them for the most part. So I think there's a path. I really do think there's a path. But I feel like it has to be, like, a statement, like, run from that whole team for them to be a path.
What do you think, Tamir?
Yeah, I think when you're talking about MVP voting, voters will look a lot at team record and also offensive production. And I think those two things, all three of these guys have. And I think that certainly there is a path where Luka Doncic can get the MVP. He currently is averaging the most points per game in the NBA, but he's also third right now in the Western Conference below the Thunder and the Nuggets. So I think there's a chance. I still think that the Lakers, in terms of their own record, would have to win some more games, maybe jump the Nuggets into the second spot for Luka to get the consideration above Jokic and possibly SGA.
I think what's interesting, if you pour over Luka's stats and the way you see it, his stats indicate that he's not shooting as efficiently as he's been, but I think he's scoring more because he's getting to the line a lot more. He's attacking the basket a lot more. His usage is high. His turnover rate's a little higher than you'd imagine, but because his usage is so much with the Lakers, it's probably conducive of that. It's just more opportunities to turn the ball over.
Well, also when you're driving, you're going to get into contact.
But I think there's been an emphasis to that, and I think Luka's at least unlocking some things for, you know, some of his teammates, and the Lakers are performing at a level where, let's be frank, I think we're not quite to the ceiling yet of what the Lakers could be. I think we're approaching it pretty quickly here. We're near it, but at least I think, in my opinion, the Lakers are getting the most out of what they're getting this season because of what Luka has done, and so that's probably part of that conversation. Lakers by about 25 tonight, we'll say that, against Utah.
Yeah, Utah's currently sitting low. All right.
All right. Let's take a break. Hour number two coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this Thursday, live from Fashion Furniture. Of course, here at Fashion Furniture, we've got plenty of great deals for you and your family. And one of those deals for sure is at Sleep Retreat, which is free. When you buy Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and Beautyrest Black products, that's right, free delivery, free setup, free haul away of your old mattress or adjustable base, come to Sleep Retreat inside Fashion Furniture, where all qualifying mattresses and adjustable bases purchases offer are free. Plus, there's more. You always love more. $300 in free mattress gear gifts with the purchase of a Tempur-Pedic, Beautyrest Black, or Stearns & Foster. Free sheets, free memory foam pillows, free mattress protectors. It's all free. Please come by Fashion Furniture ahead of the holidays, and you'll get all of that benefits right there. Fashion Furniture, nothing like it in all of California. Live here on this Thursday before Thursday Night Football, we're taking you all the way up to 5 o'clock Thursday Night Football to follow right after that with the Rams and Seahawks, the game of the season we have been billing to this moment. We'll have high school hoops over on 790 tonight. Myself, Paul Metters, broadcasting live from McLean High School. Central East of McLean. Central East, a team that went to Salem last year. We'll see what they look like under a new head coach. McLean, a team that's pretty good from what we've seen and from what we heard. Some good results. They beat Sanger by double digits on the road. So we'll see what this McLean squad looks like basketball-wise. Should be a fun one to kind of cap off our our December coverage of high school sports before we send it off to the holiday break. Tim Beer's here. Daniel's here for a little bit longer. Jorge's in studio. And, you know, we continue to look at what this game will mean tonight in terms of the Rams and the Seahawks and how big of a matchup it'll be between these two teams. But we just look at the paradoxical nature of potentially what this NFC West can look like and all of the different scenarios. And I think the invitation of a chaotic scenarios if Seattle does win tonight, the cleaner scenario is if the Rams just take care of business tonight with a win. In terms of that, they already clinched a playoff spot. We do have some news on the injury front, and this injury report brought to you by Davison Van Wagenen, injury law firm here in Central Valley and beyond. They can take care of you if you're hurt in an injury or a work. Be sure to stop by Davis and Van Wagenen. They're good people, and they'll take care of you. Devontae Adams ruled out officially. I think we were assuming that, but that is the big news injury front in this football game. The Rams have been relatively great in the injury department this year, all things considered. Just a blip in the radar here for Devontae Adams, and so now officially out with that injury. Outside of it, though, I think the Rams' advantage still stands for me, just in because of the way the pass rush has gone. And of the wise words of one Macaulay Culkin, I saw in a video this week, he talked about how Puna Ford is the better offseason pickup than Devontae Adams has been, which is fun to consider and fun to entertain that kind of thought, which I don't think he's totally misguided in that opinion whatsoever. Very underrated what Puna Ford has done for this Rams team. Defensive line. I don't know if history says – I don't know what we have in the historical nature of it, but we do have two teams playing against each other who are both top five in points per game scored and top five in opponents' points per game scored this season. I don't know how many matchups we've gotten this in the National Football League history. But as we sit here, and you're a Niner fan, Tim Veer, and Jorge, you're a Niner fan back in the studio, you sit and watch this game and wonder, what do I want out of this football game? What when I ask that question, what comes to mind?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, the Rams and the Seahawks both. It depends on what the Niners fans will want. Do you want a division crown? And if so, you're going to root for the Seahawks. If you just want to, you know, more or less have your spot secured, I think the Rams would probably be the team that you want to win. And so there's a ceiling and a floor to how the San Francisco 49ers want to see this game. The floor obviously would be the Rams win. The Seahawks would give you that ceiling. And so as a Niners fan, you go into this with a little bit of either team winning would be fine, but I think that you would probably root for the Seahawks more than the Los Angeles Rams.
Jorge, you were going to step in there too. What do you got?
I want them both to lose. I want chaos.
Beautiful.
I want
them.
What about a tie? Would a tie be crazy?
What would a tie even produce?
What would a tie produce in tonight's game?
It would be chaos. But no, in reality, I think our best option is for the Seahawks to win because we already have a win against them. So we might like more likely if we beat them at the end of the season then have a better chance.
I wonder what Niners do you like. We're going under the impression that the Niners have the ability to beat the Seahawks in that final week of the year, and I think that's proven that the beginning of the year is very different from the end of the year in terms of it and where these teams both stand. The Niners have been completely decimated defensively from that previous game where I thought they really played their best game of the year, all things considered with what we know. That was the best Niners beat defensive performance of the year in that week one game. They do not have the cast of characters they had at the beginning of that season. So,
But if we can't beat the Seahawks now, then we have no chance in the playoffs. What are we going to the playoffs for?
Oh, well, now we get nihilistic, Jorge.
Oh, my God.
What does it all matter?
Yeah, right. I still think that the Seahawks are probably what the third best team, maybe second best team currently.
I'm at number
standing.
Two, I think.
Yeah, and so.
I think I'm at number three with them, actually. I'll put them below Denver right now.
Well, yeah, I was just more or less talking about the NFC.
Yeah.
And so I think even if you were to win your first two games, a loss to me against Seattle would not be the be-all, end-all, because I still think the Niners would play a team that I currently have below the Seahawks in either Philadelphia or Tampa Bay. So it's all about momentum, and I think when NFC West teams match up with each other, it doesn't necessarily mean that the worst team is always going to lose. I also think that this is one of the more even with the Cardinals, to a sense, right? This is one of the most even divisions in the NFL. So I wouldn't necessarily be on that mindset of if we lose to the Seahawks, then what's the point of playing the playoff game? Because I still think we would face up against a team that I would consider not better than the Seahawks.
It's any given week, right?
Exactly.
We saw Thursday night back in Week 5, you know, with the Niners and the Rams. Like, any given week. Like, you play that game 99 times, I would bet the Niners won 5 times? I don't know. Maybe that's a little disrespectful in terms of it. But I don't know. Considering the circumstances, it was as good of a coaching job Shanahan had throughout that situation. These feel almost like, and I know there's some AFC storylines, but it almost feels like these three teams at the top of the division are like your coach of the year candidates too, in terms of it, or if you consider it.
I would consider it, but I know some people think that Vrabel and Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's been great.
I'm not here to stump for Vrabel though. You've known me and what I've been saying about the Patriots, and I love my Patriots. I do not think Drake May's an MVP. I don't think Vrabel is coach of the year.
Yeah, and if you look at the odds, Shanahan is currently in 4th.
Yeah.
Which to me is highly disrespectful.
Yeah.
Not because I'm just the Niners like homer, but I also think with the job that he's done with this squad, as injured as it is, and to be in a position to still get the number one seed with 3 weeks left in the season, I think it's highly disrespectful. I still think that Shanahan not having a coach of the year in his career is ridiculous to me. And I think if there's any year that he should win it, I think it's this one. But again, the conversation around Mike McDonald and Sean McVay, I think also those two guys should be in the Coach of the Year conversation.
Has McVay won a Coach of the Year? Probably 18. I think 18 sounds like a Coach of the Year win for him, if I'm not mistaken, with what he did with that team.
Yeah, he won in 2017-18.
That had to have been 18, with what he did and getting Jared Goff out from the dead in terms of that. I mean, we remember the years when Jared Goff was being considered a bust year into Jeff Fisher.
I remember that.
Yeah, unplayable Rams offense, unwatchable Rams offense at a certain point. Changed everything. I think it's a fascinating race when it comes to that. But like I said, results matter. The voting will happen after all these 3 weeks, and we'll see how it all shakes out. I would imagine whoever wins this division probably has the edge out of everybody. And if Kyle Shanahan wins this division, then I think it's a complete shoe-in for that. But we'll have to see how it all goes from there. Jorge and I did a fun exercise yesterday in terms of the quarterback trust rankings for the remaining teams left in the playoffs. And Tanvir, we kind of gave you the list a little bit to start. And Daniel, I gave you the list as well before this show. But I think it's a fascinating exercise to kind of go through in terms of, like, who do you trust? And I'm putting the specific position of all the quarterbacks who are left and remaining. I'm going to say when the team is down 4 with 2 minutes to go in a playoff game, got to have it, got to go. Who do you trust the most in terms of a ranking? And I think this was an interesting exercise when it came to the ability versus who is capable versus what you've seen in the past in certain playoff situations. And I will remind the audience, and maybe I'll just kind of spell it out what we kind of decided. But when it comes to those guys, maybe we go top down in terms of it. We landed on Stafford and Allen, Purdy and Hurts as kind of our top 4 group. And really, Allen and Stafford are at the very top. I would say Purdy, considering what he's done in the playoffs, I mean, I would only count one loss against him, and that was the Super Bowl. You know, outside of that, he's been incredible.
Would you still count that against him, though? I still think that Super Bowl loss, there's a bit of blame to go everywhere.
There's a couple drives I'm sure he would have.
For sure, yeah.
Looked like the finish in terms of that, like the overtime drive to at least.
I think that's more on the offensive line, in my opinion.
I get it.
But still, right, like. He has been very good in the playoffs.
Yeah, so absolutely. No, like I can't count the Eagles' loss against him at all.
With
his elbow exploding.
Yeah.
But I think that's a fair tier to have everybody up above. Hurts is
on the he's on the back end. He sees the back of the boat per se. If we're going to put the all in one kind of spot, but do you guys agree on that kind of sentiment for sure?
I agree. I think that those four guys have the most playoff experience out of everybody that's here. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is an asterisk because you know he's the veteran of all of this, but. If you look at all the other quarterbacks, Drake May, this is going to be his first playoffs. Trevor Lawrence, I believe this is his second playoffs, or maybe third.
It would
third?
Be his second. If
second
he
playoffs
it.
Right there. Justin Herbert, he's been in multiple playoff situations where he hasn't been that great. And CJ Stroud, this will be his third one. And he's probably been the guy that, out of the guys that I listed, has been the most successful because he has been to a couple of second rounds. So, but otherwise, and on the other side, Sam Darnold, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, and Caleb Williams, and Jalen, or well, Jalen Hurts, you already said. I think that those four guys that you guys listed, Stafford, Purdy, Hurts, and Josh Allen, are probably the guys that I would also agree with would be the most trustworthy in a situation like that. But I will say, I also think Jared Goff has a shout to be in that second tier.
How many guys, so of all the guys in this list, how far do I got to go down before you would take the field? Like, or like, how far up can I go before you take the field? If I say Stafford versus the field,
I'd take Stafford.
Yeah, versus yeah. that, and I'm thinking like, when it comes to, you know, like, what are the odds, right, of like the field winning this? Like, if there was an outside guy in that top four,
I see. Okay, then who would you trust more? Then I think once you get to six, you'd probably maybe trust some the field. I would say.
Yeah.
Well, you guys had Bo Nix, right?
Bo Nix at seven.
Bo Nix at seven. Who did you have at six?
We had Jordan Love.
I would agree with that. I think Jordan Love in playoffs.
Yeah,
I know. I'm different because
Daniel balked at it a little bit. Like I know. We just saw that game. Literally just saw that game between those two quarterbacks. But I just would consider there's experience there with Love. He did just. He did go through a couple playoff runs here, and I think he had a little bit. I think of wanting a little bit more from an Eagle game last year in the playoffs. In terms of it, I thought you know. I thought he valiantly played against the Niners 2 years ago in that divisional round, per se. He had a really bad pick at the end of the game. But outside of it, I thought that run was something that showed me something in terms of it. So that's why I kind of said at Jordan Love at six, plus
he's
the ability.
He's got that perseverance.
Yeah. Baker's the interesting one, I think, of where this list sits at nine. I have him at nine here.
I would probably put him a little higher.
Yeah.
I just think that his – just this, the gamer in Baker Mayfield, and also he has been to a couple of playoff runs with this team.
I was a little disappointed in last year's result.
Sure.
To the Commanders.
But I also would argue Jordan Love's two losses have also been a little disappointing, even if you want to say the 49ers loss was, you know, down to the wire. But that middle part is kind of where I would say there's not necessarily disagreement, but also like I would reorder it a little bit. But the top four, I totally agree with those guys.
Are
the
being,
top five
are you being completely disrespectful having Trevor Lawrence above Justin Herbert?
No. I
yeah.
Only reason I'd keep him up there is because he beat him in a playoff game.
That
like
is
he,
true.
He showed a lot more in that playoff game than Justin Herbert.
I had to drag Asa through that game. Like,
oh.
Do you imagine the amount of friendship I had to provide for Asa in that game to really even give him a convincing that there's some sort of game left in this one?
I mean, that was me. My brother had to be that same guy for me against the Lions in the NFC Championship. And so I could totally understand that.
That was me with the Falcons Super Bowl.
Like, oh, my God.
We all have those games.
Yes, so, for sure.
Daniel, you have a game like that or no? The Steelers just kick you in the nuts every year.
Every year, honestly. Like, I can't catch a break. I haven't had a game like that since, like, 2016.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. How I old mean, are you? Like, seven?
Yeah. No, well, I was older. I was probably, like, 10, 11. But I have to say, like, just what I've gone through, having to watch these playoff losses,
yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't wish that upon anyone.
I have Rodgers at eight. I don't know. It's just something weird about it.
I like it at eight. I think it's perfect at eight.
Yeah. Yeah. Phillip Rivers at 15? Huh?
I'm going body of work. Good.
I'm going body of work.
Who do you have below him?
C.J. Stroud. No.
Caleb. C.J. Stroud should be higher.
Caleb Williams.
Caleb is a guy that this is his first playoff run, so I guess you could make the argument, but I'd still have C.J. and Caleb ahead of Phillip Rivers.
And I have Bryce dead last.
I can agree with that. Yeah. Bryce is just too inconsistent in my opinion. Like, the guy can 1 week go out there and put on a performance against the Rams defense and then just get destroyed against the Saints. So
I'm curious, like, when I'm going to leave this list where it is, and I'm just going to be curious where it'll stand, like who does make it to the Super Bowl, like how far each of these quarterbacks
and in clutch situations, who does the best and who does the worst.
Like, I put Drake May lower right now, like at 11, just simply because he didn't really show it against Buffalo last week.
I also think there has to be some sort of like balance between how good they're playing now versus how much playoff experience they have. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, sure, Aaron Rodgers should, like, you know, he has all that experience, and I think you could say the same for a guy like Jalen Hurts. But, you know, Drake May is playing really well. And, yes, he maybe doesn't have a signature comeback win, but I also think in that situation I'd probably trust him in this specific season more than some of the guys you have listed above him.
I mean, if we're going off comeback wins, I think Bo Nix would have to be up there, just considering that.
He's at 7, and he's had one playoff game.
Yeah, that one's
That's
fine.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. But, I mean, at least he's been there multiple times where, like, they have to come back. You know?
Yeah.
Like, he knows what it's like, at least.
True, true.
I don't know what to do with Lamar either. Lamar is at 10. It's just kind of.
Yeah, I like Lamar at 10. I think
he's just sitting there.
I think if you don't, if you didn't trust, I mean, if you did trust him the last couple of years, and you know, he played his heart out, but still was let down. I still think you, in this specific season, you cannot put him any higher than where you have him.
Yeah.
Just because he's not playing at the best of his abilities.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We got to pick games for this week. Because we have a short show tomorrow. So what we're going to do is we're going to do the Benanti Blitz next. We're picking the Week 16 games next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Thursday. Got some news here from ESPN's Todd Archer, a news story brought to you by Valley Pure. Cowboys cornerback Deron Bland facing surgery in his left foot for the second time in as many years. Tough to see him start kind of – I mean, he's been lingering with those injuries ever since that magical year, what, 2022? Was that his INT touchdown?
It was either 22 or 23.
Yeah, so one of those years. I think it was 22. I want to believe it was 22 for
yeah.
the – Cowboys win. God, that Thanksgiving call. I think it's one of my favorite, like, Nance calls. Just around, this could be the record.
Right.
Yeah. Going crazy at the end of a 44-13, like, drubbing of the Commanders.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah. Hopefully he's getting a speedy recovery. He'll be probably back next year for sure. So we'll see where that leads into. All right. Benanti Blitz. We are going to pick the games now for week 16. Benanti Blitz brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Stop by for all your holiday special items, all of your Christmas and New Year's food items at Grocery Outlet. Today, local locations include Northwest Fresno, Downtown Fresno, Southeast Fresno, and Sunnyside, and then Kerman and Sanger as well. Be sure to stop by now for your Grocery Outlet needs. All right. Let's pick the games for week 16. Jorge, you ready to pick some games? And you got the music already rolling. There it is. Ready to roll. Week 16. Ready to roll. And we start on Sunday between the Philadelphia Eagles, or excuse me, Saturday, Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders. A 2 p.m. start time on Saturday. Eagles 6.5-point favorites. Without Lane Johnson, without Jalen Carter, a little worrisome there in terms of what they can do. But the Commanders have been, fading down the stretch, I would say, although I like their game against the New York Giants. I think there's just still a little more talent on this Eagles side. I know it was the Raiders last week, but it's nice to actually see some effective offense from this team.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I have to go Philly here to clinch the division on a Saturday.
Yeah, I think the Commanders, the one positive that they've had is their running game, and so they could give the Eagles some trouble. I know every time Jalen Carter's not been out there, the Eagles have had trouble stopping the run, but I think the Eagles take care of business. They got a big win against the Raiders. I think they're going to double that and get a big win against the Commanders, so give me the Eagles as well.
Saturday. Oh, Jorge, go. There you go. Sorry, Jorge,
get your pick. I think the Commanders are just not good enough to beat them, and Eagles.
Clean sweep for the Eagles. Next up, Packers and Bears in Chicago. Packers without Micah Parsons for the rest of the year. They lose him to an Achilles injury. Jordan Love back in the saddle again, though, looking to beat a team he beat not even 2 weeks ago. Christian Watson seems to be questionable for this game. I would hope he plays if I'm a Packer fan in their standpoint. The Packers right now, a 1.5-point dog on the road in Chicago. But I have to stand by my my feeling here that I feel like the Packers defense, despite losing Michael Parsons, still has some decent pieces there to keep things going. And I like what they've been doing all season in terms of their progression. You know, I think the game in Denver got away from them a little bit. I thought the game script felt a little different as opposed to what they can actually do. I think they match up well against Chicago, what we saw 2 weeks ago. I'm going to pick the Packers in an upset over the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I think that the losses of not only Micah Parsons, but Christian Watson is questionable in this one. Zach Tom, one of their tackles, is also questionable. Just a terrible week, not only the loss, but the loss of so many players. I just think that the Bears' running game is going to be too good against this Micah Parsons-less Packers defense, and I think they'll take control of this NFC North, and I think they win. Give me the Bears.
I'm going to throw an audible here, and I'm going to get us guest speaker here to do the picks for me
right
here.
Guest speaker, eh?
Guest speaker to do the picks. Who do we got?
I think the Bears here. I think the Bears are going to win that one.
Joe's making picks.
There we go.
All right. Got Joe here. Random voice. All right. Bills and Browns in Cleveland. The Bills 10-point favorite on the road. However, I kind of alluded to this in my feeling of this game. I forewarned it as Myles Garrett, pass rusher against this Bills offensive line that isn't completely, I would say, playing lights out. Josh Allen could run into some trouble if they get into the drop back position. But I do worry that this Browns defense can't quite stop the run as good as it can be against James Cook, who has been kind of cooking, I would say, the last couple weeks, just tearing up that Patriots defense a week ago. On the flip side, I think the Bills could have some issues with Quishon Judkins as a running back in that side of things. But if you're one-dimensional, it can warrant some worry. I think this game stays close. I think the Browns do cover this 10-point line, but I do think the Bills eventually pull it out.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bills as well. I don't see Josh Allen and this team having a down game after beating the Patriots. I know some teams can have that happen to them, but I think the Bills will take care of business. I think Josh Allen is going to be too much for them. I do think Myles Garrett does get the record in this game, but I don't see that the Browns are going to win, so give me the Bills.
I don't know if it would make me happier to see the Bills get blown out by the Browns, or them just like go from what are they like a fifth seed to like last seed because of the man. If they don't cover that 10-point spread, the Bills suck, man. They better win. They better beat the Browns. They better, because I think it's awesome if the Browns win. I want them to win, and I want to pick the Browns, but the Bills better win. They better win, dude.
We'll see. 1 o'clock Eastern time. Next up, Chargers and Cowboys in Dallas. Cowboys are on their life support, and I mean their season could be dead by Saturday afternoon when they find out the Eagles beating the Commanders. So what will it matter for this Cowboys team outside of pride? Taking on a Chargers team that's, I would say, is getting stronger as a role. It's a really nice couple of defensive efforts these last couple weeks, beating the Eagles, beating the Chiefs, especially on tough on the road. They're on the road again against, I would say, a really tough offense to go up against, but I trust what the Chargers have been doing on defense. I trust what their offense can do in terms of making the plays that need to be made. I believe in this Chargers team because I still think they have a real shot at the division here. Don't get anything mixed up with it. I think the Chargers will beat the Cowboys on the road in Dallas.
Yeah, I think it's become sort of a popular pick to pick the Cowboys because of their offense. But realistically speaking, they're not putting together great performances over the last couple of weeks, and I think the Chargers is just going to churn out a win. Similar to how the Kansas City Chiefs game went, I think they'll get like a close, low-scoring win against the Dallas Cowboys. So, yeah, give me the Chargers as well.
Same thing. They better beat on the Cowboys. Cowboys are not so good. If the Chargers can't pull this out, Miami, they should have beat Pittsburgh, and they should be sneaking in that last wild card spot, because if they can't take them out, man. Yeah, Chargers should handle business. I feel like Chargers are going to win that.
Next one, I feel very curious about this one where we're going. Chiefs and Titans in Tennessee. Chiefs are a 3.5-point favorite. No Patrick Mahomes, as we know. Gardner Minshew, the expected quarterback to play. And, boy, he struggled last year for Las Vegas. We'll see what his final three games look like for Kansas City. I think Cam Ward's playing better. We saw him play well against the 49ers. We saw the run game get established a little bit more with the Tennessee Titans last week against that 49ers defense, which is a top 10 defense in the National Football League. The Chiefs offensively have struggled from time to time. And sometimes we're really going to find out how bad this Chiefs team could be without Patrick Mahomes in terms of it on the offensive side. Minshew might be running for his life with the way this line is going. I think Jeffrey Simmons is a wrecker in that sense.
On the offense, too.
Yeah, I'm going to get the Titans here against the Kansas City Chiefs. Why not? Give me Tennessee.
Yeah, so Tennessee was something that I was contemplating picking. I just think that the Tennessee Titans are not going to put their first overall pick or their chance to get a first overall pick in jeopardy. I think they will not like necessarily tank, but I think they'll try and play this game close. I have the Chiefs winning even in lieu of losing Patrick Mahomes, but I also think that the Titans, if they wanted to go out there and win this game, I honestly think they could.
Cam Ward's getting that W. He's getting the W. Cam Ward's going to do it. He looked, I mean, obviously didn't have a great game last week, but I've seen him play, and he looks calm. He looks cool. I know his team's bad, but I think Cam Ward's, he's finally starting to catch on a little bit. And I like what the Titans are doing, and I think a Mahomes-less Chiefs team with Minshew back there. I mean, we've seen Minshew personally. I mean, with better receivers, I feel. And what Chiefs have now, I think they're kind of screwed. I mean, take the draft pick and just move on.
And no Rashee Rice either.
No. Next up, another irrelevant
game. No Rashee Rice? Bengals. Is that what you said? Sorry.
Yeah. No Rashee Rice.
Oh, why? Wow.
That, yeah. Hit the last couple weeks.
The Titans are going to take it, man. Cam Ward's getting that W.
Next up, another irrelevant game. Bengals and Dolphins in Miami. Bengals are a 4.5-point favorite on the road against Quinn Ewers. The era of Quinn Ewers starts now for those Miami Dolphins. And I would say, is there two more depressing teams in football right now than these two? I don't have much to say about it. I guess the Bengals have better pieces, so I'll go Cincinnati. But I really don't know. I really don't know what team's going to show up in this one.
Yeah, depressing teams. I think there's one that we'll pick a little bit later that's more depressing than this. But, yeah, these are two teams that have talent on both sides that just have not been able to put it together for the last couple of years. So I'm going to take the Bengals. I also think that the Dolphins have a better defense, but I just feel like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are just going to be too much.
Are you guys counting out Achane right now? Are you forgetting about Achane? Ewers is going to have Achane to throw the ball to all day. He's going to have him as his little safety blanket. Man, Ewers is getting that first win. I think he's getting his first win as a starter. He's beating them Bengals.
You're so pumped. You're so pumped for Quinn Ewers.
I'm so ready for just another quarterback.
You're ready to buy the jury. You're ready to buy the jury.
I'm actually, so this year I've been a little bit of protest and I haven't been paying as much attention. But I'm excited for this game. I'm going to go watch. I'm watching this.
Nice.
All right. Joe's back.
Go Dolphins.
Jets and Saints. Saints 5.5-point favorites in New Orleans. I love the Saints, man. Tyler Shook Saints. I'm in. I like them as far as a fun team to play. And boy, no better team to play when you have a cake defense like the Jets have been. Start your Saints, man, in all fantasy. Give me New Orleans big.
Yeah, Devin Neal's out for the year, so that's a little bit of a loss for the Saints. But I still think that the Saints are going to get it done. I think DeMario Davis said it best that, you know, there's some 3-10 teams that are just horrible, but this is a 3-10 team that has some upside. So give me the New Orleans Saints.
Ooh, man, the Saints. This one's tough. I like what Shaw's doing. Shaw, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Whatever. He's doing work right now. I did not have faith in him this year, especially with his earlier starts. But I like what the Saints are doing, too. And I'd pick them because of what they did with Carolina. Yeah, I would take the Saints.
Do you know Chris Olave has the 6 most targets in the NFL this year?
Yeah.
I thought he was concussed or whatever.
He's been rolling. Vikings-Giants, another irrelevant game. Giants are a 3-point underdog at home with Jackson Dart starting a quarterback. What a disappointing kind of performance, I would say, against Washington. I think the Giants really didn't show much in that game in terms of it. I thought they'd be a little bit more pep to their step after the bye week, but they seem uninspired to play football. J.J. McCarthy seems inspired to play football right now in terms of that side of things. Vikings defense is a plus defense. I would say be cautious of who you start in fantasy with the Giants here. I think I'll go Minnesota to get up to 7-8 right now on their record. Give me Minnesota on the road.
Yeah, I think this could be one of those underrated, exciting games this week where out of nowhere these two teams are just in a little shootout. I will take the Minnesota Vikings as well. Jackson Dart has just been in concussion protocol for too many times this season. I hope that he takes care of his health, especially against this really good Minnesota Vikings defense. But, yeah, I think J.J. McCarthy's got some wins under his belt, and I think they're going to get another one.
I don't think number 9's going to do it. I'm sorry. I don't care for his little alter ego thing going on. But I don't see the Vikings winning this one. They're playing who one more time?
The Giants.
Giants, yeah. I heard Jackson Dart. Yeah, Dart's not supposed to play. Is that what you're saying too?
No, it should be.
Go Giants. I'll take the Giants all day. I think Dart's going to do it. He's coming back. He's hungry, man. I like what Dart's doing. I think Giants will take this.
Yep. Bucks-Panthers, final game of the early window. Bucks are a three-point favorite on the road in Carolina. And just when we think we figured out what the Carolina Panthers are, which is a no-show team against New Orleans, certainly they could show up in this one for a Tampa team that no lead is safe, apparently, against in terms of that, even against Kirk Cousins and company. So this is a game you don't know who to trust. You don't know where to feel. I would guarantee if you're betting on this game, you're a degenerate. But I'm going to go – I guess I'll go Carolina because I think this feels like the bounce back. I think this is where they just show up again and do the thing they do, and then suddenly we have a relevant Week 18 game. The fix is in for Carolina this week.
Yeah, when you think you have it all figured out with Carolina, you certainly do not. The Buccaneers, in reality, should win this game just because of the talent that they have, but I certainly think that the Carolina Panthers are going to win this game at home. As weird as this team is, I just feel like that their offense is going to get clicking again against a NFC South opponent.
Get Rico Dowdle going.
Especially with Rico Dowdle. They need to just rely on that running game. So yeah. I'm going to say the Panthers are going to win this game, even though I think the Bucs are a better team.
Man, it's so hard to pick Carolina. How do you pick Carolina after what they keep doing? Last week was rough.
You mean the Rams, bro.
I know.
I got nothing. I don't know.
I don't know. It's just those. Yeah, the Saints game kills me. Half the games that they've lost kills me. But I think Carolina, they have to bounce back. This is their bounce back game. I mean, you don't come back from this. I mean, this is it for. I mean, obviously, they don't make the playoffs. I think this is Young's last year with them, anyways. Honestly, but yeah, they have to beat the Tampa. They have to beat the Bucks. I think they'll do it. I'm with you guys. I think they'll beat Tampa, Carolina all day.
Next up, Jags and Broncos in the afternoon. The Broncos 3-point favorites at home, and I think they really did make a statement in their win over Green Bay, especially down double digits in the second half, coming back against that defense. Bo Nix is, you know, for all of the headaches that this offense can create from times where they get lethargic in games, that was this free-flowing of the offense as it looked like all year. Although, I would say, the Jaguars' defense has played considerably better this time around as well. And they're secretly just beating up on everybody these last 5 weeks in terms of it. The offense has been highly efficient. Travis Etienne has been able to run the football. They just extended Jacoby Myers. And this offense is coming together in a way that I think starts to make sense for me for the foreseeable future. Can they win this game in Denver? Nobody has done it yet. But I'm going to stamp it as something that will happen. I think that Leon Cohen and those boys will go into Denver and beat this Broncos team.
I think that undefeated streak is going to continue. I think I'm a little higher on the Denver Broncos than some of you guys are, but I just think that defense has played so well against every team. Even though they gave up a lot of points in that Packers game early, they were able to bounce back and they were able to get turnovers to give the Denver Broncos a chance to come back and win that game. And I think that's going to be a similar thing in this one. I just think Jacksonville, you know, as good as they have been, I don't think that they have faced, obviously they faced Houston, but I don't think they faced the defense as good as Denver, especially on the road. So I'm going to take the Denver Broncos to win this one.
Yeah, Jacksonville, to me, they're frauds. You want to look at their last five games. You got the Chargers, Cardinals, Tennessee, Indy, and the Jets. I mean, yes, they're dominant wins besides the Cardinal one. But, yeah, I think Jacksonville's, they're frauds. I like what Denver's doing. I think they're one of the better teams around. So, yes, they're a little frustrating sometimes with their offense and them just three and out when they should be scoring. But I think Denver, yeah. I don't think they're getting beat by Jacksonville. Like you said, Jacksonville's having a good past 5 weeks, but those teams are weak, and I like what Denver's doing. Denver's going
to
win.
I'd put a little more respect to that Charger blowout.
I guess. That one's a good game. I saw that was a blowout, yeah, but other than that, I mean, really all year, that man, I've been calling it. Jacksonville just, I don't know what it is about them. I don't like them this year.
All right. Falcons and Cardinals, really irrelevant game, but Falcons 2.5-point favorites on the road against Arizona. I think now 3-point favorites on the road. Sure. I'll go with Kirk Cousins. I don't know. This is a strange game. I got nothing. I got no feel for it. Whoever shows up, whatever. Give me the Falcons.
Yeah, Trey McBride will show up regardless of how bad the Cardinals are, and I think that's why they're going to win this game. I don't know if either of these teams care about the win at this point of the season because they don't really have anything to play for, like a high draft pick or a playoff spot. They're kind of just in the middle, but I think the Cardinals are going to come out with a win because they're at home.
I might be relying on Michael Carter this week. Jesus.
So I'm going to say they tie. How about that? I think they tie.
Yes.
If you do that, Joe, I'm giving you like, I don't know. I got I don't know. I'm going to buy you something.
If they tie?
I'm buy you something.
All right. I'm saying they tie. I think no one wins. I think they're both terrible teams, and I think no one wins. We're going to see another tie.
Crazy. Steelers and Lions in Detroit. This is kind of that prime game for the CBS crew. Lions 7-point favorites. No TJ Watt in this game. That's enough to tell me that I think the Steelers defense is going to have a real tough time slowing down what this Lions group did, which I thought had, I would say, a B-plus game offensively last week against the Rams. It's just the Rams are very good, and the Steelers aren't as nearly in the firepower level that the Rams are. I think Detroit, in a must-win, back-against-the-wall situation, needs this, and they think they will take it against this Pittsburgh Steelers team.
Yeah, I'm just going to go quick here. I think the Detroit Lions having all of their weapons back, and obviously not Sam LaPorta over the last couple of weeks, but I think they showed me something against that Rams defense, that they still have the offensive firepower, and I think they will have the defense to still stop the Steelers. So give me the Lions.
Detroit all day. There's no way they're going to lose to the Steelers. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have a monster day. No TJ Watt. I don't like what the Steelers look like anyways. That was a garbage game against my Dolphins. They still didn't look good. I like the Lions. They should pull this one out and hopefully send Pittsburgh to, like, you know, second place in their division.
Raiders, Texans. I will not speak much about this game. This is a bloodbath. Give me the Texans by a million.
Yeah, I think this was the team that I was saying that is probably the worst to be a fan of right now, but I'm going to also say the Texans. I also think this is going to be a bloodbath.
I think Carroll, he's mad. He's angry. He don't like these two wins. And this is my upset. I think Las Vegas is going to upset Houston this week. I like what I'm saying here. I know you guys don't like it. I don't care. I think Carroll is angry. Carroll wants that win. Gentry's going to have a good game. And I think the Raiders beat Houston because Houston, as you know, good as they've been defensive-wise, their offense is scary sometimes. And I feel like
I legitimately think the Falcon Cardinal tie is more likely than the Raiders.
I agree with you in that one. That's what I was about to say. I think if the Raiders beat the Texans, I will also give you a game.
All right, I'm looking at a bunch of prizes this week because Vegas is beating Houston.
We got one more. Sunday Night Football, Patriots and Ravens in Baltimore. Baltimore 3-point favorites in this one, which is kind of surprising to me. All right, we like the underdog Patriots going on the road to it. I don't know what Lamar showed me to deserve a 3-point favorite in this game other than, you know, the Bengals quitting against them last week. That's a nice little Band-Aid to what the Ravens have been really a lackadaisical team throughout this whole season. I think the Patriots can run on this Ravens squad. I think Travion Henderson is such a weapon to them, and I don't think the Ravens have enough firepower on the offensive side to keep up with that run game. Give me the Patriots to win on Sunday night.
Yeah, the one thing about the Patriots that I'm concerned about is that running defense and also the offensive tackles is health. And so I think those are two things that the Ravens can certainly exploit them at, but I also think Drake May and that passing attack has been so potent. And as you said, Travion Henderson, I think, will have a day against this Ravens defense that has kind of showed a little bit of life over the last couple of weeks. I still think that the Ravens offense on the other side has just not shown me enough, even with Derrick Henry playing well. So I'm going to take the New England Patriots in this one as well in a quote-unquote upset.
Nah, I think Patriots take a L on this one, and they tie the division up with the Buffalo Bills, and Baltimore comes out on top. I like Lamar. He's going to be normal, I think, this week, and I think Henderson's going to have the worst game of his season this year. I like Baltimore. I think Baltimore is hungry. They want to get the Steelers out of there. Go Baltimore. I think, as you know, Phil, I'm not a big Patriot fan. I think Baltimore is going to take it. I'm a fool of upsets this week. I like the Baltimore. Even though it's not an upset because they're a 3-point favorite, but, you know, go Baltimore.
Joe, you're having too much fun. Let's get him off the air. Fred Panati Blitz, brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Joe, have your fun weekend. Get out of here.
Let's end
the show. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Final segment before we say goodbye. Real quick reminder of the schedule tonight. Rams and Seahawks on 1430 tonight. Also on 790 at 6:15, we'll have McLean versus Central East. basketball, high school hoops. Paul Metters and I on the call for that at McLean High School. I'm going to head over there. And as soon as we wrap up here, reminder, tomorrow we're going to have our normal programming, although I will end at 4:30 tomorrow because we have Alabama and Oklahoma tomorrow, college football playoff. Quick, you got a little – I don't know if you're on the show tomorrow, Tim Veer, a little run-through of the college football playoff predictions for the opening rounds here?
Yeah, you want to just give all four?
Yeah, you give me all four.
So right? I think Oregon does beat JMU. Shocker. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think that Tulane does have a shot against Ole Miss, but I think Ole Miss will still pull it out. I still believe in their roster. I think Oklahoma is going to beat Alabama. I know a lot of people don't think that, but I think Oklahoma being at home, also Alabama coming off of that loss against Georgia,
yeah.
I think they're going to have the momentum, and I think Oklahoma is going to win. And then I think that Texas A&M does beat Miami. I still think that Marcel Reed is one of the best quarterbacks in NCAA right now, and I think that he gets the job done against the Hurricanes.
Yeah. No, that's great picks there. I won't reveal mine, but I think there's some straightforwardness to this opening round. I think, of course, I think the one that most intrigued to me is tomorrow night's game between Alabama and Oklahoma,
agreed,
where that goes. So we'll see it. And you can listen to it on 1430, starting at 4:30 tomorrow. And all the college football playoff will be airing on 1430 throughout the schedule. Just check your listings there. Playoff is on 790 Saturday. All of the NFL is on 1430 tomorrow, or on Saturday, with the Eagles game and then the Packers-Bears game there as well. Sunday schedule of Raiders on 1430, and then we'll have Sunday night football between the Patriots and Ravens on Sunday, and then the Niners will be Monday night football when we return for one show next week. I have my Monday show. We're going to do a Benatti Blitz on that day. We're going to do Who's Benatti, Who's Benice on that day.
Every segment that we do throughout the week.
We're throwing it all out there. Daily Spread, all of it. We're going to do it all. Speaking of Daily Spread, real quick, only a minute left. Daily Spread brought to you by Chancy Gold Resort and Casino. If you're not trying your luck with your team, try your luck with Chancy Gold Resort and Casino tonight. I've been alluding to it with this Rams-Seahawks game. Like I said, I think the Seahawks have to show something they have yet to show for me against this Rams team, which is effective offense, efficient offense, ability to not turn the ball over, ability to run the football. I haven't seen it yet this season. I think they've been slumping a little bit going into this game offensively, as I pointed out to the stats. I'm going Rams tonight, even despite the loss of Devontae Adams. I think the Rams can still, in the run game, bully the Seahawks defense just a little bit. And I'm picking the Rams to win and grab a stranglehold of this division.
Yeah, I've been going back and forth on this one. And I think the final decision that I'm making today, I'm going to make a little bit of a bold prediction. I think the Seattle Seahawks do win this game. I think Sam Darnold finally gets a win against this Rams team. And I think it's because that passing attack will not be as potent without Devontae Adams. And I just think that regardless of what we want to say about the Seattle Seahawks offense against this Rams defense, I think they will be able to pass the football finally against this team. And Sam Darnold won't have as many turnovers as he had in the last one, because they're going to rely on Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet to get some of that running game going as well.
Byron Young has been such an unsung hero for this Rams team. People don't talk about his
whole
production.
Defensive line.
But 11 sacks a season for Byron Young, which is the most by a Rams player since Aaron Donald at 12.5 in 2021. Hey, Aaron, you available?
I've heard some rumors in the air.
I heard some rumors. All right. That's it. Our show's over. We'll see you tomorrow for 3 o'clock. Rams, Seahawks next. Over on 790, we'll have high school hoops. Tune in over there, 6:15. We'll see you then.